It's that coming up from the bottom. Day one, dollar zero type shit. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a boss, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I could never take a day off. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a boss, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day off. Turn your baby mama crib into a stash spot. And we moving more aggressive than the
last. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
How we doing?
Is that mic fitting you okay over there?
It's perfect. Perfect.
For those of you that watch this on YouTube, we moved from the back of the room to the front of the room.
We did. Big move here.
We still have our Christmas tree, our festive pillows. We've got a new sign going up too, our Mile High Property Brother sign.
That's right. That's right.
Shout out to my parents, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. They got it made, I think, from like a veteran out in Oklahoma, but made like a steel sign with our logo, and we're gonna hang it behind me. For now, we've got our Fat Cat original from Gavin behind me.
That's right.
That'll go back in its respective spot for everyone to see until we get that hung. But yeah, man, that was super cool. Everyone always says I'm hard to buy gifts for, and I'm like, I don't need shit. And they go, yeah, that's exactly why you're so hard, because people want to buy you something that you need. And like, I respect that because I'm a gift giver. Mm-hmm. You know, like I appreciate giving gifts, but I also want my gifts to like mean something, because I want to like express a thought behind, you know, a gift. So I guess I can respect that. But boy, they hit it on the nail with that one. Of course, you know, selfishly, you somehow became a part of that gift because it's for you too.
she called me about that a long time ago. Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
It's so
yeah.
funny how like your dad is like Team Will and my mom is like Team Eli. She thinks you're amazing, which you are. You are.
Thank you.
You are amazing, man. But no, man, it's Friday. It is last day of the year.
Last day of the year. Yeah. Yeah, it is, huh? It's, yeah, fuck.
And just full disclosure, let me just say something I've always wanted to say.
Let's hear it.
All of you, I'm locked on every day. I don't need New Year to make a goal. That's just cliche. Shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Being funny, I agree. I'm the same way. You and I are very... Am I echoing, by the way?
No, it sounds good. Yeah, cool. Sounds good.
You and I are very similar when it comes to like action plans with business, and we'll come across something, we'll have a new discovery or like a new lane that we could triple down on, or we decide, hey, we should be doing this to enhance our business, or... You know, like I'm down, I think I'm down 30 pounds total or 40 pounds total. Like, I didn't need a birthday or a new year to do that. Like, it was just something I was like starting to take ownership of. And I just found a different reason that I valued to lose weight. Cause for a long time, it's not that I didn't care, man. There's just so much going on that we were doing. It wasn't a priority. So, not an excuse, but just is. But then, hey, you start figuring some things out with yourself, you start dialing in some self care. How your image and how you want to present yourself. And you're like, yeah, cool. So I'm going to start that. And then it kind of just starts that moment, right? Because then like,
hey, I'm ready.
You go home for dinner and you're not eating shit because you just made a decision midday. I'm out of that. Let me figure it out. Like now I'm doing some food prep and all that good stuff, right? So like I agree with a lot of the people that are like, hey, I'm not into New Year's resolutions. And hey, why can't you just get after it? Why do you need this day and this day? It's just a day. It's not any. It's like, true. True. However, you could also give it a shot. Could be fun, right? Like, why not? Why not give it a whirl? All you badasses out there that can just start something like that and crush it or whatever it may be, hey, why not take your birthday or take a new year and say, oh, fuck it. Like, no matter how cliche I think it is, I'm going to give it a whirl and see if I can't commit to that for a year. Not necessarily mistake-free, but just because going a year on a goal without being mistake-free, per se, like, no sugar. I don't even know if that's the right one you should
happening.
Do.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, could you have heightened focus towards something for 12 months? And would you be extremely productive, you know, with the progress that comes from that?
Yeah, like, you're telling me there's nothing else that you can improve on. There's nothing else out there.
And what they're saying is, I use they loosely.
Yeah.
But what they're saying is, no, there is, but it's when I see it, I just decide to do it. And I don't need a new year. I don't need a birthday. I don't need a new year challenge. And everyone that does that is just full of shit. And I understand a lot of them are. But a lot of people are just a lot of things, right? Like, for example, like there's a lot of douchebags at CrossFit.
Yep.
So are you going to stop CrossFitting?
Yep. A lot of douchebag bodybuilders.
Okay, there's a lot of douchebag bodybuilders. Yep. There's a lot of douchebags that wear camo jackets. Yep. I hope I'm not one of them. But am I going to stop wearing it because of that? Right. Or, hey, could you just, like, take it upon yourself to go, hey, you know what? I've always been this way. I've always been sporadic or in the moment. Like, hey, is there anything that I could work on this year to give a hyper focus to? And then just commit to that, whether other people, you know, kind of like, you know what, like New Year's resolutions, it's kind of like the tribal tattoo.
Okay.
Everyone has it, and everyone that has it's like a D-bag or it's played out or whatever. And it's like, hey, look, man, who cares? If that's what you want as a tattoo because you like them, regardless. So, hey, if you've never done it or if you could do it and focus on something and it could be beneficial, like, so regardless of the other people that are going to quit on theirs and stuff, like, what does that have to do with you?
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily healthy. No, who gives a fuck what Eli thinks? However, I don't necessarily think it's the best thing to maybe wait until New Year's to make any changes in your life.
Correct.
However, hey, while New Year's is here, why not take inventory? Why not do an assessment?
And I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people do say like, oh, hey, after Christmas, I'll start eating clean. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, hey, after New Year, I'll start eating clean. It's like, hey, you're not a D-bag. Let's just take that out of it. You mean well. Mm-hmm. What you don't realize is like you're creating this thought process of, after this, I'll do it. After that, I'll do it.
It's like, the snooze button of life.
Dude, that's probably the best way you could put it. So either breaking that habit if you have that habit, or, hey, if you're a high performer and you've never needed it. Because I've heard it on podcasts, man, from our friends. And I'm not knocking anybody. Do you?
Yeah.
But some of you high performers out there that are awesome kind of just shit on New Year's. Because it's like, well, I'm this every day. And if I need to change, why not just change it right now? Why? You know, agreed. But you could also do both. And for me, like the Marine Corps birthday, my birthday, and New Year, organically in my brain, my simple brain, tend to be very reflective without even trying. And if I'm in a natural state of reflection, it graduates into a natural state of what could I prioritize? What could I do better?
Yeah.
What could I work on? So for me, it's just like organically, kind of becomes that day. So no, I don't take a month to write all these goals down. You and I already have a ton of goals on that board back there, and we've mapped out projects. So maybe like,
more important than goals, we have fucking action steps.
Action plans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yep. Yeah. So it's like, so maybe like the New Year stuff is more personal. You know what I mean? Like maybe it's more introspective, and maybe I look at it like, hey, what can I prioritize a little bit more? Like, okay, I'm on to the self-care thing. Can I prioritize some of that? And, you know, but again, for me, naturally, it's like, hey, whether New Year is cliche or not, it's hard not to reflect. And then those of you that are like, it's just a day, then don't ever wake up at a certain time and don't ever tell me let's meet Thursday. Like, don't start using days if you're not going to use a day on the actual day, right? Like, you got to be balanced with your rhetoric.
Yeah, and, man, spend some time looking at your own shit instead of thinking what other people are doing or
I think that's
talking
what
shit about the other,
I
you
think
know.
Long-winded here, like, right? Like, long story long, like, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Like, what? And, dude, like, I'll be honest with you. We've got a lot of friends that crush fitness, and it looks hard, but I think that's, we've talked about it before, that's their security blanket.
That's what they're naturally good at, yeah.
And it's like, hey, like, it's physically hard, and you're super impressive with that, and I know every workout you push it, you know, but, hey, that's your safe place. Hey, how's your business right now?
When's the last time you took your kid and told your wife to go out and do something?
Hypothetically.
And you're sitting at home with your kids. Yeah, that might be a lot harder than doing a fucking 24-hour event or something.
Yep. No one's specific, you know, but like, yeah, it's just interesting. And it's like, hey, there could be some things there that you could maybe work on. And like, even myself, like, I try to question, you know, certain things. And it's like, hey, give it a shot, man. Like, prioritize something in your business or with your family or anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing, man, I liked that I initially learned from Gavin, and then we saw it in that best self planner of like the wheel of life, Gavin calls it, you know, to where it's like, it's that wheel that maps out your, basically like your family life, your job, your finances, your spirituality, and your health.
Yeah.
And then you mark where you feel strongest, and then you connect the dots and you see like these big jagged lines of like, oh shit, I'm real strong over here. I'm real weak over here, real strong over here, real weak over here. So it's like, unless people are really like doing something like that.
See, those are hard for me because like I might be weak in one aspect, but it's almost like not intentionally, but like I'm aware of it. I'm just not choosing to make it a priority.
Well, and that's it. So over the course of time, you address those little things and make little course corrections.
Right. And you keep building up each category. And I do, where I do like the graphs like that is like, it just allows you to keep some things top of mind.
Yeah.
Cause I think the biggest thing, man, like when it comes to New Year's resolutions or goals in business or, you know, actually hitting your goals, it's like, you're not going to be mistake free.
And it's not going to be perfect. Like,
but if you're cognizant, if you've got a system and a process that allows you to keep things top of mind, where you're running after action reports personally, professionally, with your family, with your faith, and you're regularly looking at that, whatever regular is for you, it'll keep you from falling off the rails. You know what I mean? Like, I think like I've got some wobble in my life. Like if I were a train on the train tracks, like it might,
bro, we all do.
It might wobble a bit, right? But like it's not trying to prevent the wobble.
Mm-mm.
It's about keeping it from coming off the rails. And if you're not like, man, you know, like dude, with your weight, I remember one time, dude, Kate and I had just had cash, right?
Okay.
Or we were about to have cash or something, but I was feeling a little bit heavier and I hadn't weighed myself in a long time. And you know, when you look at yourself, like you don't, weight just comes on over time and you're bigger than you think or whatever. Like I remember I weighed in, I was like 279 or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, that fucker's broke. I'm heavier.
Skin's
but I ain't
fault.
That heavy. Cause dude, I was 220, 225 when Kate and I met. And I was like, Kate, come stand on this. She stood on it. It was appropriate. So I was like, all right, well, maybe the springs in the scale are broken after a certain point. Maybe they'll hold Kate and be accurate, but then like once you get over 200 pounds, then it won't work, right? Yeah. So I stood back
it's
on it.
It's not a bad thought.
And it kept weighing me the same. So I'm like, it's consistently wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, right? And I call Eli.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, bro. Literally, verbatim. Hey, bro. Do scales break? And he go, I mean, yeah, you know, like everything breaks, I guess. Like, why? What's up? And I was like, dude, I keep standing on the scale and it says I weigh like, I think it was 274, 279.
Yeah, 270 something.
I was like, it says I'm weighing this. And you were like, you fucking laughed. And then you were like, oh, bro, you're every bit of that weight. And I was like, what? And you go, yeah, like, hey, dude, you're bigger and strong, but like, dude, you're big as fuck.
Yep.
And I was like, man, like, and the point that I'm getting, like, let me get back to my point about like just keeping it from coming off the rails. That's about as close as I've gotten to like coming off the rails. Not like I was going crazy, not like anything like that, but I was still working out because that's what I do for stress. And I like lifting heavy in the gym, and that's not constructive with looking a certain way. Your diet is what makes you look a certain way, especially like if you're going to go traditional lifting.
Yep.
You know, and people say like, oh, I don't want to lift heavy because I'm going to get bulky. No, the only going to get bulky when you lift heavy is if you're putting, you know,
calories
exuberant
in.
Amounts of like calories in your body to fuel that, you know. And I wasn't doing any cardio. Like I didn't have any checks and balances in place with my fitness. I was just going to the gym every day. But I was also, you and I were grinding business. Yep. We were broke as fuck.
That's priority.
So we were eating trash,
whatever. Yeah,
burritos for a dollar, but I'd eat like six of them because I'm also like an emotional eater.
Yeah, same.
And I'm gonna get to the other side of emotional eating because what I figured out this year was, you know, like so I would eat when I was stressed, right? And that's like I'm satiating myself through that, right? Doing no cardio, going to the gym every day, but just doing the traditional bullshit lifts. And I didn't have any checks and balances as far as like I didn't have any fitness goal, I didn't have any physical appearance goal, so. When you don't have anything to check in on and you're just, you know, going to the gym, like you're just kind of like going through the motion, whatever, like it creeps up on you more than you think.
Yeah, bro.
And then what I realized this year was, cause like, you know, when you think of, oh, I'm an emotional eater. The first thing that comes to mind is like, oh, when you're sad, stressed, angry, you eat. Ah, yeah, true. Also when I'm happy, when we achieved something, I would eat some shit. And dude, I caught myself mid meal. Of having something, I went like, oh shit, like this whole emotional eater, it's like, it's on, at least for me, it's on both sides of the spectrum. Like, okay, cool. Like now that I'm aware of it, like I can set up checks and balances. So like I order my food now, like and through Nutrition Solutions and say prep it all. It's cool, right? Mm-hmm. Easy.
Discount code? One day.
Right now, it's like
But punch Will Grimes 2022. See what happens.
Cool. Yeah, but it's cool. So like, there's a plan in place. So I think what I'm getting at here is like, yeah, that kind of got off the rails, and it wasn't so much because I was in a bad place. Like, we were grinding and we were broke as fuck. But mentally, I wasn't in a bad place, dude. Like, I was so happy and at peace when you and I were grinding because I was proud of what we were doing. I had a mission every day.
Yep.
But what I'm getting at is like, it's more than that. It's not just, oh, when you're in a bad place in life, that's when you have to be hyper vigilant about your behavior. Like, no, like, you can just be grinding, or you could be wealthy and happy. And like, if you're not aware of like the things you're doing health wise and you don't have any checks and balances in place, you could be creeping up on that scale and you don't even get on the scale.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm 279. I thought I was 240 something.
Yeah.
Because last time I weighed myself, I was 225. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, I probably gained 20 something pounds. No, bro, you're 50 pounds, you know? And it's like, oh, so what I'm getting at here is like, just in order to keep things from falling off the rails, right? Like that, you have to have checks and balances. And if you don't know what those should be for you, look at it personally, professionally, your faith, your family. And then just like, hey, what's my physical fitness and my nutrition and my water intake? And what I did notice, like when I wouldn't sleep very well, I've always come back to like, how's my water intake? How's my food? How's my sleep? How's my exercise? Usually one of those four, something's cattywampus. If I'm struggling with some sleep, or if I'm getting more edgy than I think I should be, I'll catch myself with that. And it's usually one of those.
Yeah.
You know, so again, just being aware of it is like a huge first step. But then you've got to, hey, get a whiteboard and write that stuff down and get committed to some things to be hyper-vigilant about. And give yourself some goals in those lanes and don't expect yourself to be perfect. So like this whole, you know, I'm going to give up sugar or I'm going to give up Starbucks, you know, for a year. It's like, man, I think from the gate you're setting yourself up for failure, especially if you haven't really committed to something for a year versus like, hey, why are you giving up Starbucks? What is it about the Starbucks that you want to give up? Or what is it about sugar that you want to give up? Because there's also some good ways to use sugar. And if you time it the right way, there's some good things. But more so, like, hey, find the reason why you're wanting to do that. If you're giving up sugar because you want to lose weight, good initiative, bad judgment. Like, let's focus on the weight loss piece, not the, well, if I give up sugar indirectly, I'll lose weight, right? Yeah, but...
I was just about to say, man, why I think a lot of people fail at that, too, is because it's not just give up sugar, which... I'll go on a sugar tangent. Never mind. But it's not just give up sugar, but it's, I'm also going to go to the gym 7 days a week. I'm also going to do cardio 5 days a week. I'm also going to do this at my job and do this with my family. And it's like, whoa. You know, like one thing I think that people need to be okay with is like you mentioned the perfection thing. Hey, some areas are just going to be out of balance for a little while and that's okay. You know, like we've had that conversation when we first went into business, we each had this conversation with our wives and I told my wife, hey, for this many years, life's going
to
be fucked up.
And
you
to
know?
Be specific, we did not give a number. We just said for this many years.
Yeah.
So they couldn't hold us. I was actually,
pro tip.
I was actually, I kept moving my fingers like this. Like you didn't know. It could be 2 years, could be 10 years, could be.
That's hilarious. I know.
For this many years. No, it's true, man. And, but it's like, hey, you can't pour into family when you're growing a business, right? You've got to give time because it's like your child.
I think it's important to set those areas. Like one thing I'm real big on, man, is like not going backwards to where it's like, I'm okay not moving forward in a certain direction because I'm focused on other things. But what I don't want to do is go backward.
And just being intentional. Like even when you and I were grinding, it's like, hey, all right, you can't pour into family as much as you'd like because you're pouring into business and you got late nights, you got long hours. All right, cool. But what can you do?
Yeah.
Can you take your daughter out for an hour a week?
Yeah.
Where it's intentional.
Yep.
You take her out of the house and you go to the park. You don't have to spend any money. You just go to the park or you can do something at home. Or, you know, like now, like I really try to be home from like that 6 to 8 o'clock. And if I want to do stuff after 8 o'clock, social media, networking and messaging people and different ideas and collaborating on something, and I can do that at night, cool. And then whatever we have going on prior to that. And if you and I have an event that we're speaking at or that we're doing and I can't be home at six, those happen a couple times a month.
You know,
a couple
times
a month. But for the most part, man, there's several days a week where I can make it home by six and I can just have fun. You know, if I answer a couple text messages here and there, like, hey, cool, man, I don't want to stress my house out by mandating no one be on a phone or an iPad.
Yeah.
I want them to have fun and take it all in and be present. And we do what works, you know, in our household. But, yeah, more times than not, it's like, no, I can be home by six and I can hang out till 8 o'clock. And then after that, if I want to get back at it, cool. So it's kind of like that, too.
It's
like
how you keep from going backward.
It's just being intentional. Yeah. So it's like when you're, instead of picking, I'm going to the gym 7 days a week, and then I'm eating no sugar, and then I'm doing this, it's like, hey, man, that's overload. Versus like, hey, is there one thing you could improve upon in each one of your pillars? Like,
yep.
Hey, don't say you're going to go to the gym 7 days a week. Like, it's not even, like, commit to a plan. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you're going to be training 3 days a week or 4 days a week, mm-hmm. and then rest days, you're going to have some active rest where you go for a 20-minute walk. Days where you're working out, you have, right? It's like, hey, no, put a plan in there. Don't just say something that's all out and there's just no structure to it. And then with your family, hey, what can I do? Even when you're broke, dude, we were broke.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? You know, like, I remember when we were, keep saying when we were broke, Chloe would just play Wii. We had a Wii. I think Kate had it or we got it from her brother. And she would play the baseball.
Yeah.
And she'd be hitting fucking bombs on that thing. So, like, cool, dude. Like, we sat there for an hour and a half and, like, I could put what I was doing down for a minute and like this and just have fun. So I think it's more about just like incremental adjustments over time is huge.
It stems from the self-awareness, the self-awareness, like you're talking about, like, man, without just doing those little inventories after action reports, you never figure that
shit out. Dude, when you're working out, getting an extra 10 pounds on the bar or doing an extra 2 reps on each workout over the course of a year, how many more reps is that?
A lot.
On top of how much more weight?
Yep. A lot
of progress. Same thing with shooting, man. Like an incremental adjustment, right? Like you're one or two clicks off with your windage at 1,000 yards. Like how far is that bullet going to miss? Because if that bullet's off an inch, but it's constant, right? That like let's just pretend that bullet never
for a
falls
long period
down.
Of time.
Let's pretend that bullet's going to go 2,000 yards. So if you're this far off from the start with your dope, that little 2 inch, it's going to, that line, that trajectory is consistent over time, right? It's compounding. So you're going to miss something by feet.
Yeah.
Fetuses.
That shit adds
plural.
Up, bro.
That's plural.
The good and the bad too. If you're like just fucking up a little thing,
but reverse it. If it's like, oh yeah, that makes so much sense. Yeah. So reverse it. So in the beginning, if you can make an incremental adjustment, I'm going to give my family an hour intentionally. Like, you downplay it because it's like, oh, well, that's nothing. So then you don't give it at all. Not realizing if you're intentional with what you're giving and you consistently do that, add up how many hours you're giving your family for the year. And it's like, once you reverse engineer that, you're like, wow, that is powerful. Yeah. So then let's talk about being powerful. What does it take to be powerful?
Yep.
Just incremental, consistent steps of being intentional with your direction and what you want to accomplish. Over time equals powerful.
Yep. That's the freaking key component there is that sustained over time. And that's where people fuck up, bro, because it's like, you hit that that 3 month mark, you forget about it because you don't have any checks and balances. And then it's like, next thing you know, you're like, oh fuck, I had a goal.
And I was talking to Tosh the other day, Tosh and Connor, good dudes, right? So I'm not going to steal it. They're getting credit, right? But, Tosh was talking about like one of his frustrations, like, you know, like back in the day, and Connor had some relation to it as well, to where like you make so much progress in something and then you mess it up. You have a cheat meal. And that's not what they weren't talking about diet. They were just talking about progress as a whole.
Yeah.
But let's just use that. Like you make all this progress for like weeks and weeks and weeks and you have a cheat meal. And then you like punish yourself because you think you're all the way back at where you were when you started. And it's like, no, that's not true. You've made all of this, and I think that's my way of talking about not coming off the rails, right? So, like, if you miss an hour with your family because you got busy and your work got caught up, it's not like, oh, fuck, my life is over and my goal's done and I'm so stupid. And it's like, no, dude, like, look how many hours you've given and, like, you've wobbled here a bit. But, hey, tomorrow, just make sure you're back on it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's also that. That's why, like, sometimes making these extraordinary goals that are so huge and you tell everyone about it and there's like this huge expectation / stressor on you for it. Then the second like you make this little error, then you're like, fuck it. And you don't do it at all.
Sometimes
and then you're back to like doing the same bullshit.
Sometimes I feel like that's a little intentional or at least like subconscious, like the whole like beating yourself up. Well, and particularly the beating yourself up part, because when you're outwardly like beating yourself up and like, oh fuck, you know, like I'm so pissed at myself. It's like, yeah, you seem visibly upset at yourself,
but
subconsciously,
did you give yourself an out?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And are you like, but you want people to think you're mad about it. You know what I mean? And like, you're holding yourself accountable, but it's like, hey bro, You could also just like pick the ball up and keep going.
Yeah, that's a great topic, holding yourself accountable, because like you're not. Just by calling yourself out is not holding yourself accountable.
Well, it gives it the appearance of.
Yeah, but whatever plan you're going to put in place, whatever contingency you're going to have in place to make sure that you minimize the risk of making that mistake again, is that's where the accountability comes into play.
Yeah, because there's nothing that you can't just start doing again. You know, there's absolutely nothing. And like, dude, for me, I feel like that's something that I've just been like, again, like the non-emotional about your goals and stuff like that. Like I'm such a long play guy. Like I honestly think like one of the best things that has ever happened to me is like, just, I'm not naturally good at shit at all. Like sports and stuff. When I was younger, I was just always, I was always bad at everything until like drumming was the first thing that I just liked enough to do long enough that I got good at it. And once I realized like, oh man, I can get good at things if I just do them long enough.
Yeah.
So I've just always been like a long-term guy. So like,
you had to put so much work into things to be adequate in your mind.
Well, I just learned like,
you're used to the work ethic.
That's what it is. Yeah.
You're used to something taking a while before you're good at it.
I'm not good at shit otherwise.
Yeah. What's that like?
You know,
man, I've never
boring because you're bad at everything for a long time.
Like I never shot a rifle until boot camp, but then like.
Then good at it.
But then I was the best at it.
Yeah.
From the start.
Yeah.
Round one.
Yeah.
I've never been bad at anything, Eli.
Well, think about what if
no, I'm serious. Like, what? No, if,
well, and I'm asking.
I'm not serious.
What if you? But what
I
if
was
you
trying
were?
To be fucking,
but what if you were bad
I was
at
trying
it?
Trying to be an asshole to you,
like people.
But you're like engaging, like I'm being for real. So now I sound like an asshole.
No,
on
no,
the
no.
Podcast.
People struggle with it though.
Yeah.
Like my wife Megan, like dude, she's naturally good at a lot of sports, but it's hindered her a lot when she goes to do something and she's not good at it. She wants to quit.
This is why real estate is a man's game.
Oh.
No, let me rephrase that.
That's going to be a soundbite online.
This is why real estate is major league, if you want to be great at it. So guys or girls, because there's some girls out there that crush it. So not a man's game. Just it's major league if you want to be great at it, right?
Mm-hmm. I was just seeing today the number one agent volume and sales at EXP, Veronica somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, girls crush, man. Yeah. So like, you know, I was using the phrase man's loosely.
But major
league. I'm getting at is like, how many times have you not got calls of somebody introducing us to someone and like, oh yeah, dude, he's in the military and crushed it, and nah, he was good at this, and like, oh dude, he's gonna be great for you guys. He wants to get licensed, and I'm like, look, man, you might come over here and not do a deal your first year. You might not do a deal your first 6 months, 7 months. You might only get your first deal in your first 4 months, and that's actually impressive. And if you haven't dealt with that level of failure, as in you're not even failing.
Yeah,
what you're assuming is like, oh my God, it's been a month and I haven't gotten a deal. What's wrong with me? Nothing.
Yeah.
It's that, dude. It's like just being able to put work in so long and not receive anything from it to where you don't mind fuck yourself thinking you're failing and that you're not good at it. So then you bounce and go do something else. And it's like, nope, you were doing everything right. It just takes that much time sometimes, right? Like, but people that haven't dealt with like actually putting in a certain amount of time into something, they can struggle in real estate because like they'll start putting in time and they'll put some time in for a couple weeks and then they don't see like that return, and they're wondering, and then they're comparing themselves to you and I or to other people that are doing a ton of deals, and they're wondering why it's not working for them. And it's like, no, you've planted the seed and now you're watering it, but how long does it take before it breaks the soil? And how long does it take before it even becomes something substantial that can bear any fruit? You're doing everything right. You just want it now, and you've never dealt with this. So you like, that's the number one thing I see people struggle with within real estate. It's like they can't handle that duration of time without seeing something, and then they mind fuck themselves that they're doing it wrong.
Yeah, well, and the reason I think we said in real estate particularly is because we've talked about this before, to where real estate is it's an entrepreneur's world disguised as an employee's world. And you know, you get a lot of people coming in who are employees. Whether they know it or not, they're employees, you know, like, oh, I have my own business, but it's like, nah, you're an employee. And
yeah, because you're on it, you know, and this is no disrespect.
And by employee, I mean like employee mindset too.
Employee mindset, but then you're also expecting people to do it for you. So you start going to brokerages and like, hey, what can you do for me? Okay, can you give me leads? Can you give me people to call? And it's like,
no.
You're an employee. Well, some of them will say yes. There's teams that will get, and I'm not disrespecting anybody, like just first and foremost, right? I'm not disrespecting anybody that's on a team and that gets leads and has the expectation that someone's going to feed you. Just please understand, the guys that are successful at being able to spend all the money to purchase leads because they've built their business and they can provide leads for you to call, they're the entrepreneur.
Yes.
Yep. You might have some entrepreneur tendencies and want to build your little brand, but at the end of the day, you're able to make these calls and see these clients because someone has procured that for you.
Yep.
And
yep.
it's not bad, but you just have to understand what that is and have some self-awareness around that, you know? And honestly, like, realtors that are getting into the game, that are newer or haven't found a way to be successful yet on their own, getting on a team and joining a system, what the hell's wrong with that?
It's a great – yeah, it's great.
Aaron Rodgers got to watch Brett Favre for 3 years, man. And he goes, that's when I saw perfection. Yep. That's when I saw what it meant to be a professional. That's when I saw a level of effort. And, you know, like, there's a lot to that. Like, so to expect – for anyone else to expect you to, or for you to expect yourself to come into an entrepreneur's world, you know, like this, and to be a top producer, all these things, and then you're going to do it on your own, you know, it's just few and far between – that can execute at that level, right? Like it's, and if you're not, like, that's okay. What's wrong with going to a team and being able to call leads or have business to work with and not being an apprentice? You're getting paid on those commissions, but you're getting these reps in and you're starting to get familiar with the game. Like, if anything, man, that might make you more successful than, like, let's compare it to sports. You see a lot of these teams, they'll get a rookie quarterback, you know, and they go high in the draft. So they go to, like, the Browns or the Jaguars. Well, that rookie quarterback has to be the starting quarterback. He's all they got. They don't have a good quarterback. So they don't get 2, 3, 4 years behind Brett Favre. And Aaron Rodgers is just great. Yep. But not only is he great, dude, he got to watch that for 3 years, watch Brett Favre prep and be a part of that for 3 years. And he talks about how much it helped him. So these guys that come out of the gate that have to be the starting quarterback, you know, like, a lot of times, man, like, it's almost like within fighting, because I know you like jujitsu and fighting as well, right? And you don't care about football. All good.
I care about it. Yeah, I just don't follow it.
It's like when fighters get too much hype.
Yep.
And they fight somebody in the top 10 too soon.
Yep. Fucked.
Yep. Like Sage Northcutt, some other guys, like, they, you know, they get a lot of attention and they're really good guys. And they're, you know, or like the other guy that GSP used to coach up in Canada. He got devastatingly knocked out by a Muay Thai guy in a Muay Thai fight. The bottom line is some of these guys got so much clout that they started fighting top 10 fighters way too soon.
Yep.
And they start taking 2, 3, 4 losses in a row, and they're bad losses. You're getting beat hard. Bad. It's bad on your body. Imagine what that does to your mind.
Yeah.
Right. So then correlate that to business. Like, hey, if you're throwing yourself into that lion's den, like, hey, your self-confidence, your expectation of a learning curve / you know, execution curve, like, I don't think you're accurate. So people that do that, more than okay. But you're right, dude. A lot of people don't seek help, don't seek that team. Like, they're just kind of part-time doing it. Like, no, man, you're fucking it up.
While simultaneously complaining about how maybe they're not being successful or, you know, whatever. But
You're just not doing a good job. And don't, man, you know me, Mike, one of my pet peeves is, like, these are the most expensive year-to-date sales and buys. I don't care if someone's making $20 million a year. Usually the next house they're buying is not less expensive than the one they bought, right?
Yeah.
Than the one they're buying now.
Yep.
Correct? So, like, regardless of price point for people, these are people and their hard-earned money and their families and everything. And, like, hey, to not be professional, not execute appropriately, and if something's out of your league a little bit, not having proper help to execute these contracts appropriately for families is – hey, man, it's unprofessional.
Yeah.
No excuse.
Yeah. One of the other things I want to talk about was kind of like our goal setting or lack thereof. Because I think people would be like pretty surprised at the way we do things, you know? And like I mentioned.
Pretty much the best there is.
Pretty much.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Pretty much. But when we mentioned, when Will mentioned that whiteboard before and write some goals up there, and I mentioned action plans or action steps, especially in real estate, people are so big into goal setting. You know, how many homes are you going to sell? What's your volume going to be and all this stuff? Man, that's never been my jam. I know that's not your jam either. But one thing that I think we are really good at, which is completely overlooked by a lot of people, is, hey, whatever the goal is, what steps are you going to take to get there? What physical, tangible things are you going to do ttomorrow, today, tomorrow, the next day, day after that, to help get you to where eventually you want to go?
Yeah, man, I think a lot of it just boils down to like who you are. Cause I don't want to say people aren't successful with like the stringent goals of I'm going to sell 200 homes this year. For me, I just feel like, hey, if you're that convicted in that goal and it's realistic for you and you're chasing it, it reminds me of like a motorboat, A to B straight versus like navigating the winds and feeling where your momentum is at and sailing. Right. And like, for us, it's like we're very good on like next steps and action planning, what's right in front of us to maximize doing mm-hmm. deals the best mm-hmm. we can. And if that equals 200, cool. Mm-hmm. And if it's just under 200, cool. But we know our output is insane and it will equal it. Like, cause I'm just not the guy that can trick myself with a goal. I guess what I'm getting at, right? Like, I'm not going to say like, I'm going to do 500 homes this year because it's like, I know, hey, it's possible, but there's a lot of ways to where like it's not possible. And I can't, and if I feel that way, then I can't falsely get motivated about that goal that I don't, that I'm not, that, there's just not that much conviction in. But it's like, hey, if I'm doing A, B, and C to the best of my ability every single day, that's going to equal X. And I don't know what X is. I don't solve for X until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well, and I know if I'm doing everything to the best of my ability, whatever it equals will be the number that we were going to. And in addition to that, when I don't overly tie myself to that goal, I'm able to feel momentum and where things are going. Like right now, we're in the second phase of getting our own TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, hey, that's fucking cool.
We didn't set that as a goal.
No, that wasn't a goal. But the way that we decided to do business and being consumer first, and the way we decided to do our YouTube channel, because, hey, it was a COVID project, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, how can we get better and more direct with consumers, especially with this going on? And we had met Jesse and Jackson, and we were kind of like pondering it. And then when COVID started hitting, it was like, yeah, that just, man, that has to happen. Mm-hmm. And it was all about care. And it was consumer centric. It wasn't like, fuck, what are we going to do? You know, 200 houses. Like, it was very like, how can we care for the consumer?
Yeah.
And what are the next things that we can put in place to do that? And like, but then that opened the door for our own show and for some other things. And I feel like we've also pulled the plug on stuff, right? Like, we've pulled the plug on, you know, some ideas that we had or some things that people asked us to do, but then it just wasn't the right feel.
Yep.
But if we were so committed to this superficial 500 homes a year, we would be doing it because it would be beneficial to the goal short term, not necessarily beneficial to our business or peace of mind or the way we like to run business, right? Yep. So, like, that's just where you have to be careful. And, like, I think, like, it would be like, if I'm going to correlate it to fighting a little bit, my goal is to go into a fight with Eli and I've got to hit you 500 times.
Right.
So if I hit you 500 times, then the odds say I'm going to win.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So now I'm in there worried about not hitting with my jab enough and not doing certain. So now I'm forcing that narrative versus like seeing opportunities, taking the fight where it needs to go. And when there's an opening, like I strike. And that's what I really liked about Conor McGregor, Chuck Liddell, was like, they weren't the Nate Diaz. They're going to, you know, like Nate Diaz, he's going to hit you 600 times in a round and they're all 50% blows. And then when he tires you out, he can beat on you more. And love those guys, but man, they also lose a lot. You know, but like what I admire about like a Chuck Liddell or a Conor McGregor is like, they would take the fight where it needed to go and they would process and assess things. And when they struck, you bled.
Yep.
You know, and like, I kind of see that like, hey, I've got a mission here of like, I want to win the fight.
Yeah.
Just like I want to win in business, but then like, well, define that. 500 deals is me winning. 1,000 deals is me winning. Define winning.
And more importantly, how the fuck are you going to get there?
How are you going to get there?
Yeah. Like,
and scalability.
We have a North Star, right? I think we're real good at having a North Star. I think that's as close to a goal as we'll have is, hey, this is the direction we're going in these different areas. It's not just one North Star, right? Mm-hmm. These are the directions we want to go in these areas. And then, what is it going to take to get us in that direction? Right. Mm-hmm. And then, man, we're just so fucking good at taking action, bro. And that's something that like, I don't think I realized how good we were at it because it's just intuitive. It's what we do. But until I hear that from people and they're just like, man, you guys are always doing shit. You guys are always putting things out.
Yeah. And that's something that you complimented me back in the day for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like when we first started doing like home buyer classes or just something.
Good at getting shit done.
And you were like, dude, like you'll have an idea, but then like you just start getting after it. And I think even like maybe Megan said something one time, we're like, oh man. And you know, like, so not to say that you don't do that. Of course you do that.
No, it's
where like, but you noticed that in me and like, but we were still new in business. We weren't quote unquote like crushing it, but fundamentally I was sound. And I think it also just, it's also kind of like, man, just credit to the Marine Corps. Credit to police work, man. Like, you know, when you get your briefing before you go hit the streets and stuff, and you kind of like know what's going on, but like until you're in it, until you get out there,
yeah,
you're not going to know what it looks like or what you actually have to do or if something's going to pop up. But you're not going to find those things out until you get out there. Mm-hmm. So it's like this whole create an op order or create like a, you know, a briefing before you go on patrol. That makes the assumption you have it all figured out and how we're going to attack the night.
Yeah.
It's just
not so much.
And it's also not possible. Yeah. In my brain, in my experience, you can't plan for everything, man. There's just unknown variables. And even if you have the known variable, it just might not go the way you think mm-hmm. it's going to go. Right. Mm-hmm. So like in business, it was like, I knew opening a door is going to open up other doors.
Yeah.
Getting fucking going and planning and getting things scheduled and throwing events. Oh, that event sucked. We only had 5 people. Cool. Now we have answers. We need to do more of this and more of this and more of this. And then we do it. And cool. We have 25 people show up. Boom, winning. How can we do? Oh, hey. And then what if we did more events? Okay, let's try 2 events. But once you get out there and you're in the game, you can start putting your fundamentals into exercise. But then you're also getting all of those unknown variables. You're getting those answered. You're getting your data on your business and what's working for you. It's not hypotheticals and it's not what works for someone else. It's like in real time, you're figuring out. So like for me, man, like my default is action. Even if I'm unsure about certain things, if I'm fundamentally sound and I trust myself, like you can't take Marines into a firefight if they're not fundamentally sound. Mm-hmm. But if you take them there and they're fundamentally sound and things start unfolding unexpectedly, maybe a little bit different than you might have thought it would, they improvise, they adapt, and they overcome that, even though it was unexpected because they're relying on fundamentals and in communication and a ton of stuff. But you're not gonna see that until you get out there. And then once you get out there and you see that, and then you can come back and teach all the other Marines, hey, they're doing IEDs like this now. Hey, they used to do them like this, but now they're starting to do them like this. And here's how we found out. So, hey, next patrol out there, hey, be on the lookout for this. Yeah. It's like you wouldn't have got that unless you were out there in the fight. Same thing in business. If you're not out on your craft and putting your ideas to the test.
Yep.
One, you're not going to find out if they work or not. But then two, other doors, other opportunities, they're not going to come into fruition. And that's where I talk about the whole take care of the work and the work will take care of you.
Yeah, man, the fundamental point there, you're leading me into my points perfect here. So like the fundamentals there, to relay that back to fitness, right? New Year, people are probably setting some fitness goals. The fundamentals are so important because you can have the best plan in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Let's use diet plan. Best diet plan in the world. You're prepping your food, all that stuff. I don't know, you forget your fucking food somewhere. You get out, this has happened to me, you drop your fucking food on the street, right? Shit, what are you going to do, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't understand what's a carb, what's a fat, what's a protein, and how to make adjustments out in the real world on the fly, what are you going to do when it starts changing? You know,
that's when you and I started living off of McDonald's, Taco Bell,
dude, a fucking 7-Eleven.
Someone else, like when I was starting to lose weight, when I started dude, this is not good. So we started paying attention to that. Now we were still broke. We didn't have time to food prep and stuff like that.
Or we could have made time, but we just not a priority.
Fuck off.
Yeah, not a priority.
But what we started doing was relying on our fundamentals of understanding fiber-based carbs, starch carbs, proteins, fats.
Yep.
Hey, you don't need a ton of fat with carb, right? Like they're both fuel sources. So if you're going to have some carbs on this one, minimize the fat, vice versa. Like, so we just started being a little bit more intentional.
Just on the fly stuff. And then the other aspect to that is, we're really good at tracking our shit. Like in business, we're really good at tracking our numbers, every deal, where they came from, what they closed at.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're out there just winging it and you're doing well and you're getting a ton, how are you going to triple down on it if you don't know what sources are?
Well, and that's what helps gives us our North Star, because if we know what we did last year and we know we're not trying to go backwards in our business. Okay. If this is what we did last year and this is how we did it. Mm-hmm. Hey, what else can we add? What little adjustments can we make so that over time this can have a long, good effect? Like that part we are phenomenal at.
And then as you grow mature over time, you'll just, man, like for right now, like one of our biggest influences is realtors. Mm-hmm. It's not just clients that are selling and clients that are buying homes. It's like, no, man, we want to, our new client, our realtors, we want to teach them how we've built our brand and our business and our YouTube and how we're professional on the actual transactions and how we manage client emotions. And here's our systems and processes. We want to start teaching that. That's where we want to have influence. But like, that wasn't my goal. When I was first getting into this, my goal was to just get a deal, bro.
Yeah, make some fucking money.
I had a baby on the way.
Pay some bills. It was just
get a deal, you know? But like, so that's also like being appropriate with your goals, with what you can see, right? Like for me to want to be, you know, like in the top 1% and teaching other agents. Like, if that would have been my goal out of the gate, I'm sure everybody would have been encouraging. I just don't know if it would be accurate, because what if that changes? What if my motivation or my desire would have changed into something different, and I don't want anything to do with realtors? I want it to be a luxury agent or whatever it is. Like, but you've got to, I guess, base your goals off of what you can see. Like, one of my biggest analogies is, like, when it's dark outside and you're leaving work, you get in your car and you turn the headlights on. Mm-hmm. You can't see your home. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't. You know the direction it's in. Right? You turn your headlights on. You can see, what, 200 feet in front of you? Yep. And then when you go 200 feet, you can see the next 200 feet, correct? Yep. Oh, the light's red. I got to stop. Oh, dead in here. I got to go left. I got to go right. I got to merge onto the highway. So I've got to speed up and triple down on this opportunity. This opportunity of having a higher speed on a bigger road. Oh, I got to triple down on that. So I've got to speed up, but I got to merge and be careful. But hey, I got to speed up and I'm going to really triple down on this opportunity. Then, hey, this is coming up. I've got to slow down. I've got to merge off. I got to turn left. I got to turn right. Eventually you end up at home, correct? Like, but it's all based off of like data within just a couple hundred feet of you. Mm-hmm. Unexpected things happen. A car crashes in front of you, slows down in front of you, flips you off, whatever. You're right, addressing it. So, like, I think that's where I get so big on when I talked about these incremental steps, mm-hmm. and how that does make you powerful. Mm-hmm. Incremental changes or incremental goals and decisions in that immediate area over time bring you to new opportunity, but they also build and become a super strength. Like let's just use our YouTube channel, right? Like, it was, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to research areas that are super popular for Colorado. We're going to start looking up what people search on YouTube to figure out what we should be making. So not a title I think is cool. What titles other people think are cool that are actually searching.
Yep.
So we can start bringing content toward them. And hey man, let's do 2 videos a week, no matter what, right? It was setting that goal of just making sure we're focused on the content and we're consistent with the content over time. I'm like, yep, that's what's brewed into this opportunity for a show. That's what's brewed into 2 million in commissions from the channel this year. You know, and it's like, oh shit. Like it, but as it grows, you're prepared for that next opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as it grows and you become bigger, you know, like you can see more. So it's the same thing, man. Like, if you compare like our YouTube channel, like the Pullman that we're in, when we started, we were on the first floor. Mm-hmm. But as you go to the second, third, fourth, fifth, all the way up to the top floor, you know, each floor had to prepare you for the next floor.
Right.
But then each floor that you gain, you're able to see more of a bird's eye view. You're able to see more opportunity and things. And like, that's where you really start making these decisive decisions that increase. And like, but that happens over time. Like, but a lot of people, man, they expect themselves to see those things from the first or second floor.
It's
versus just
there.
Understanding like over time, man, you're going to be able to see the battlefield, right? Or the playing field so much better than when you first, but even though you see it better, like it's all still these incremental decisions over time that stacked that allowed you to have that vision of what you can go after. And then we have a big vision, but guess what? The big vision is still taken down one floor at a time, one bite at a time. You know, so I just think people over romanticize it, or they just, man, maybe they're not good at goal setting. And no disrespect, dude. Some of these like people that pitch goals and certain things, like they're full of shit. I think it's romantic to say.
Yep.
And maybe they're not full of shit. That's an accusation. Let me take that back. Maybe they're not full of shit. I can't confirm that. I'm not them. Here's what I'll say. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Right. So like, just like swinging a baseball bat, swinging a golf club, whatever it is, everyone has like, right. Like if you try to make a baseball player, everyone hit exactly the same.
Yeah. Not going to happen. No.
Okay. So same thing. Goal setting, business, entrepreneur, like you've got to figure out what works for you. Unfortunately, when you hear people speak about goals, you only hear it in that one way.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't resonate with you, problem. Just like everyone go to college.
Right.
Hey, if that doesn't resonate with you, if you don't like, if you're not good at school, but trade schools, military, or entrepreneurship, some other things haven't been spoken about, you think you're a dirt ball for not going. Mm-hmm. Or you think you suck at life when like, hey, if you can't make a goal the way that everyone is telling you to make a goal, like it's just this one track mind, it's almost like you might give up on it versus like the self-awareness and just feeling like, hey, what works for you? And then not being afraid to say what works for you. you know, and like I could come up on here.
It's so different.
Dude, I could come up here and bullshit about a 5-year goal.
Yep.
I could say what works for everyone else, even though I didn't do it that way.
Yep.
Now that I'm here, now that I've had some success, I could just start out of my own insecurity and, oh my God, what do I do? Well, I'll just say what these guys say because it must work. They did it. So I'll just, yeah, I did that too. Like, set a 5-year goal, set a 3-year goal, make 100 calls a day. Like, versus, hey, there's more than one way to do it. Paying attention to what works for us and then just speaking that. Hopefully that speaks some permission into other people, man.
Well, something that I've been going through personally lately.
5-year goal? Like, fuck, man.
Something that I've gone through personally, it goes along the lines of, hey, maybe something that did work for you really well isn't always going to work for you. And
well, that's true.
For me, like I've been a 5 a.m. guy for like 15 years, 13, 14, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked really, really well. And I found that like early on in my entrepreneurial journey and stuff, like, yeah, like I was in that zone of getting up at 5 and I was getting to bed at 10, 11 and 6 hours sleep. I was functioning what I thought really well and supplementing with Adderall when I wasn't functioning really well. but lately, man, as in like maybe the past month, maybe it's maturity, maybe it's whatever. I've just been paying attention to the results, which is important. Pay attention to the outcome, right? Yep. And what I was noticing was my outcome, man, I was, despite how much Adderall I fucking took, not as productive as I knew I could be during the day, not as focused as I knew it could be, not as happy as I know I could be, not as excited to do work. Just little things were really starting to bother me. So
but if you don't wake up at 5 a.m., you don't feel productive.
And I started trying this crazy thing of like getting, I feel weird even saying it, but like getting up at 7, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Not 6, getting up at 7.
Yeah, and like I remember we had that conversation, and I'm not taking credit for that decision.
No, go ahead.
But I remember having that conversation because, hey, you know, we do have editors. Like, we do all of our own. You made our intros. You made our outros. We do our own drone, our own B-roll. We crush our own content, and we have an editor put that stuff all together. But whether it's funny movie clips, intros, like, we're navigating all of that. We just have someone put the pieces together, right? But, like, that person being on, you know, like, hey, on, like, in a different time zone, you're up late, and that's the start of their day. So, like, you were naturally having to stay up later to get some things done, and it's like, well, you're trying to force this narrative of like being up at 5 a.m. when you're up at midnight.
Well, and here's
or 11 p.m.
Here's also the reality.
Not sustainable.
Because I wasn't as focused and I wasn't as productive during the day. Mm-hmm. And I was getting sidetracked. And yeah, I would do stupid shit more than I needed to. I was having to stay up late to do shit that could have been done at 3.
Yeah, you know? Well, that too. You know, but the biggest thing was like, hey, dude, the bottom line is if, you know, if you got to be up later for these reasons, and you just, it just means that your day starts a little bit later.
Well, and so with this, like, getting up at 7, you know, I'm getting up at 7, and dude, I'm accomplishing way fucking more than when I had those extra 2 hours.
This is where I've been good in business, man, of like, I don't judge myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've had a couple people mention like how we make it look super easy, and it's not, but maybe we make it look that way because we're enjoying what we're doing, so you don't see all the work that goes, you know, in behind it. But dude, if I wake up at 7, like let's use Jocko for an example, right? So I mean, that narrative of like 4:30 every morning, I don't see it as 4:30. I see it as, oh, here's his watch on his Instagram every morning at 4:30. Cool, he's very consistent with his plan. I see it as a plan, and I see the consistency of it. I don't see that as like, well, now I gotta wake up at 4:30.
Yep.
However, you've been able to, you stay up later but get up a little bit later. Right. Mine, I actually had to start waking up earlier because I had to go, hey, I've got public speaking. I've got a flight to catch. So, like, for me, it was like, well, if I'm not up earlier, then these things can't get done before I got to be in this state speaking here by 9 a.m. So then by default, I just had to. But then it's like, okay, well, no sweat. It just means I got to go. Well, I got to go to bed earlier, which means, hey, how do I shut it down to get to bed so to make sure that I wake up and I'm prepared? But it's like, it's just fluid. There's no, like, I'm not bound and so committed to something where, like, I have to hold on to it. And if I don't do this, then fuck. It's like, it's like, dude.
Well, so the fluidity part to this is now that I've realized, okay, sleeping until 7 allows you to feel this way during the day. Really what's happening is
you're maximizing the time you're up.
Getting 8 hours of sleep makes you feel this way regardless of what time.
Yeah.
So, because here's the thing. I genuinely do like that 5:30 to 7 to 8 time because it's fucking quiet. My phone's not ringing. No emails are popping through. Nothing's happening. That I really do generally enjoy that time. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, okay, now that I felt how productive and happy and just how much just, man, shit just fucking flows. Mm-hmm. I'm just better when I get this sleep. Okay, what are the little changes that I can make over time?
Yeah, bro. It's like me. It's like you and I are both going to go hit the track tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I wake up before you, but I'm so tired. I get out there and I'm walking the track.
That's what I was doing.
Right? And then you show up 2 hours later. So I'm a couple laps ahead of you. Mm-hmm. But you show up later, yet way more energized with more fuel, more intention. Yep. And you start running the track. By the time, you know, it's like you've done way more than mm-hmm. me. And that's mm-hmm. what it's all about, dude. It's like, how do you maximize?
Yeah, yeah.
And how intentional are you with what you're maximizing and what you're doing?
And the overtones to all of this is, hey, are you enjoying what you're fucking doing? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the biggest thing. That
I'm like an emotional... Dude, I'm an emotional guy, right? Like, yeah. I think people that know me would would agree. That's good and bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, when they talk about your strengths and different stuff, and, like, man, there's one thing, like, when it comes to business where I'm not very emotional. Mm-hmm. And you can speak to that. Mm-hmm. We just wake up and we just get after it. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't have some, like... burning desire that, like, and I speak into a black mirror every morning. It possesses me. I'm rekindled with my this, and then I roar and I get out there. It's like, but I'm also not overly bad. Like, if I have a bad day or something, like if a family member's hurt or something, you get distracted. Like, I'm taking, you know,
outliers
out of it, right? Like, I'm not very high and low mm-hmm. when it comes to mm-hmm. work, but I'm also like, I don't have like some like. I don't wake up, man, and, like, eat a bowl of oatmeal and sneak into my kids' rooms and, like, oh, my children, I must go out with the most intention today to fucking provide. You know, like, that, like, I don't know, man. And that's why it's hard for me to speak to it, because it's like, nah, man, like, I've got ambition for more. Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly feel like I have ambition for more success and what I see success as mm-hmm. in business. So I just wake up and like, dude, there's some days I don't want to go do it. And some mm-hmm. days I do want to go do it, but they look the same.
Yep.
Because I'm not over emotional on the fun days, but I'm also not overly emotional on the not so fun days. Early on in our business, if someone bothered me, it would get to me. But that was my insecurity and allowing people to affect me more mm-hmm. than I should have. So like growing and maturing over time. But like you and I are very similar in the fact of like, We're here every day.
You just go,
and we're never overly happy.
Yep.
We're never overly sad. Yep. So you would never really know like if something like, but it's just like just poised, composed, and just getting after it. And it's like, well, why? Like, well, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? Like I have ambition for more. If I want more, it requires consistently mm-hmm. or consistency from ourselves. So then we're just consistently consistent.
Yeah.
Like I don't what more. What, like, does it have to be this big, like, and I'm not disrespecting anybody that has to attach something to it, but I'm asking the question, like, does it have to be like more than that? That just, hey man, like I'm ambitious for more of what I interpret as more, more influence, more, whatever the vision is. Like, I just haven't ran out of vision in business and I've got mm-hmm. more gas in the tank. And it's like, ah, what do you mean? Well, you ever work out and feel like you got more in you, so you just keep going, or like the next day you're a little sore, but you keep going because you're ambitious. Like, I just want more.
Yep.
More of what I consider more.
Yep.
And I know it requires more. And like, quitting or not showing up is off the table.
Yeah, it's not an option.
Right. Like, and maybe that's where my mind is different, because no, dude, I don't need to be super jazzed to come to work. But I also still come if I'm not. Yep. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm articulating this the right way, but
no, I get
the bottom
100%.
Line is not being consistent or quitting isn't even on my table.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. It's internal versus external motivation. Like, that external motivation shit is one of the slipperiest slopes.
And I think sometimes it has to be non-emotional. I think sometimes it's like, look, man, what do you want out of life? Mm-hmm. I want more. Cool. Don't answer that for me. What's more for you, mm-hmm. right? Okay, well, what is that? Like, mm-hmm. define what that is for you. And maybe you don't know, but you just want more of something. Like, dude, when I was sleeping in a pantry, when I was first starting real estate, I didn't know what more was. I just knew I had $36 and I wanted more money.
Yeah, bro.
But money provided for my daughter, provided a home for my family. You know, so, like, it's just, you know, the clouds part. You stop feeling bad for yourself and your situation, like, the, you know, and it just becomes very clear of like, I've just got to start doing more. More of what? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to study because I don't have my license yet.
Turn the headlights on.
Let me get my license. Yep. And then, okay, after I have my license, then I'm going to do this. Then I'll get to here, then here, then here. Mm-hmm. And it's all step by step, bite by bite.
Yeah.
But it was consistent, man. Like, it just, but that's where I feel like the process, it can't be emotional. Like, I talk about getting emotional about your goals, right? Like, you want to lose 100 pounds, or you want to be able to afford a $3 million home one day, or, man, get excited about that. But then the day in and day out, don't expect yourself to be excited. And if you don't feel that, then all of a sudden you have this, you allow yourself to say you don't want to show up today.
Right.
No. Emotional about your goal. But your process is like, look, man, if I want more of whatever that is, it requires this. Okay, so then just do that. Whether you're feeling like it or not, then you just got to go after it. Yeah. Or that, you know,
or
that
don't.
Will not equal that.
Or don't.
But then just understand it won't equal that.
100%.
I don't know. I think I'm speaking way too long on this, but like.
It's good.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, man. And
a lot of people talk about, you know, your family and you're going to die. And it's like, first and foremost, I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm probably one of the people you don't have to remind me that I will die one day and that other people die and that you're only guaranteed today. We're probably going to live past today.
Yeah.
You know, and so like when people articulate motivation in that way, it's not that I don't think it's true. It's that people get fired up from that motivation. And then their expectation is that how you feel today listening to Eric Thomas is now what you think you're going to feel every day. Mm. No. Allow that motivation to jazz you up and get energized, but then put that energy toward the goal. Don't put the expectation of how you're feeling when someone's motivating you to be the norm.
Yeah,
and not. I think that's where the pattern is broken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a really good tip. But man, I'm glad we had this conversation today because we get a lot of questions and people do make those comments like, man, you guys make this look easy. And they know it's not easy. It's a compliment because we make it look easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't go about things in the traditional way. We're outside of the box. Mm-hmm. Yet we still have achieved a ton of success.
We have fired clients before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, like if Eli and I are not happy with a direction, if it's not within the integrity of how we want to run business, mm-hmm. If it doesn't have a feel to where we feel like we have a boss or something's just not the right color for what we're doing, we don't do it.
Mm-mm.
And we continue to get after it and we just create the future and the surrounding and the people that we want to be around.
But we show up and we do shit every day. A lot of shit.
I know. Like, I'm trying to find
a lot of shit done.
Dude, like, I feel, I'm almost going to, like, start becoming the people that I'm talking about right now. Because I'm trying to find, like, a more romantic way. But I keep searching for a better way to say it. But, like, honestly, it's like, listen, you don't need to lose 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You need to lose 5 pounds 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
So, figure out how you lose 5 pounds. And keep doing that. And here it comes. Well, yeah, but when I'm 80 pounds down, my body's going to require more for the last 20. Yes, grasshopper. But you will be more prepared as a human. And you will be able to see yourself, what works and what doesn't work when you reach that bridge in order to cross it.
Yep.
So again, it's still
the same person.
It's still bite by bite by bite. So it's like, man, it's like you don't need to make $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make this many times and duplicate a process. And as you duplicate processes, you'll be more aware and prepared for what next opportunity is there. Mm-hmm. And then you start making the right decisions because of your experience and what works for you. And you familiarize yourself with you and who you are and how you want to build. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come absent of the fucking work.
That's right. Happy New Year's, everyone.
So you realtors out there, I know some of you listen to this and you ain't working. Pick up the phone.
That's right.
Get on your fucking social media.
That's right.
Knock on doors. Go to events. Work.
Happy New Year's.
I love you.
I love you too.
Bye 2021.
Yeah. Later on 2021.
See you guys.
Bye. For nothing, I can never take a day off.